But for the sake of our lesson this morning, we want to try to answer the question, what is meant by modesty? I think it can mean several things. Depending upon your translation, the translation of the scriptures that you use, the word can mean a few different things. This word, as you use in the English language, means several different things. When I did a Google search, it came up with at least three different definitions. I'd like to talk about at least those three for a moment. The first one says it's the quality or state of being unassuming or moderate in the estimation of one's ability. And so while the concept of being unassuming or moderate fits what we're talking about, but it's not necessarily talking about one's ability. Being modest about what you can and cannot do, although that principle is a biblical principle. We typically use the word humility or showing or demonstrating humility. The second definition is the quality of being relatively moderate, limited, or small in amount. Perhaps this applies to a person's aspiration. They have modest aspirations, you know. I do not have any aspiration of being president. But now, vice president. So the idea is here's a person that has modest aspiration. That's really not what we're talking about here in one sense, but I think there's some elements of that does apply in that when we talk about modesty, we're not talking about a person who wants to or tries to stick out. The third definition, I think, is probably closer to what we think of when we think of the word modesty. It says behavior, manner, or appearance intended to avoid impropriety or indecency. And that really speaks to, again, how we carry ourselves. What we'll find as we begin to look closer at this word modesty, it is more about an attitude. It's about a character of a person. It's an attitude that oftentimes manifests itself in the way we dress. And sometimes it can be seen that way. Not always. And there's passage scriptures that will let us know that the way a person dresses is not how you judge or make determinations about them. But at the same time, how we dress can tell what's going on inside of each one of us. There are two passages of scriptures in the New Testament that use this word modesty, depending upon your translation. The first passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 23 through 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 23 and 24. I want to encourage you to turn to that passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 23 and 24. Or use your electronic device to get there. Paul would use the physical body to explain the importance that each part or each member of the body, of the spiritual body, has. But in so doing that, he does make an observation that I believe is helpful to us about the physical body. It sort of gives us some idea as it pertains to the subject of modesty. I'm going to pick up in the middle of the context, verse 23, reading from the English Standard Version. He says, "And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor." So when we apply that to the spiritual body, we understand that to mean that not everyone has the same ability or the same function as a part of this spiritual body. And on those parts of the body that seemingly are less, we give more honor to that part of the body. Well, he's looking at that from a physical body standpoint. So he's making a physical body comparison. It is in that we see these other aspects where he says, "And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty." At least that's how it's translated in the English Standard Version. He talks about that the physical body, that there are parts of the physical body that are, at least translated here, unpresentable. And those unpresentable parts, what we do is we treat those parts with the greater modesty. And what do you suppose that means? The idea is that because there are unpresentable parts of our body, what we try to do is we treat them in such a way that they now become presentable. The idea in public, right? And so I think here he speaks to the sense of treating our unpresentable parts of the body in such a way that it becomes presentable. Although that's not his intent in drawing that parallel about the spiritual body and the physical body, he does make that observation. Now, if you're reading from other translations, like, for example, the New King James, New International Version, those versions read very similar to what I just read in the English Standard Version. right? I'll read again. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. So what do we mean when we say modesty, just looking at this verse? I think the New American Standard, as it reads, sort of helps us to understand what we're talking about. The New American Standard says, and on those members of the body which we deemed less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And here's our phrase where he talks about modesty, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. So that's the way the New American Standard translates it. It translates it as taking that part of the body that is less presentable, other translation says unpresentable, and then making it presentable. So when we say modesty, that's really one of the ideas that we're talking about, taking that which is not necessarily decent and making it decent. Now, the other passage of Scripture that used the phrase modesty, one that we're probably more familiar with, is 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. Go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. For those of you who are just coming in, we are beginning lesson 1 of sort of a four-part lesson during our 9 a.m. meeting on the subject of modesty. Our goal today is simply to try to understand what do we mean when we say modesty. What do we mean by that? And we looked at the passage there in 1 Corinthians, which gave us some idea what is meant by modesty. And what we walk away with is sort of the idea that it is to take that which is unpresentable and to make presentable, would be how I would translate what's in that text. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, we see now perhaps another or some additional words that help us to gain some idea of what is meant by the word modesty. The context is really from verses 8 through about 15, where Paul is talking to the men, telling the men about how to pray, to lift up holy hands and everywhere. But then the majority of the text, verses 9 through 15, well, it talks about women and their apparel, what they wear. Their attire, but not just what they wear, but how they wear it, and even more, it talks even to behavior. And so looking at a whole, we see, at least in this text, I think modesty is broader than just the idea of what I wear, but it is an attitude that manifests itself in what I put on and how I put on what I put on, but not just isolated to clothing. Because it also then is indicative of our behavior. It tells a little bit about how I feel about really the commands of God, about what God says. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, just looking at verse 9 now, as we're trying to answer the question, you know, what is meant by the word modesty? English Standard Version says, likewise, also the women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly attire. Now, we're going to dig into this text throughout the course of our series. I just want to say, for now, we're just trying to figure out what do we mean when we say modesty. Now, your translation may read very different than English Standard Version. The English Standard Version says, in talking about a woman's adornment, says it should be respectable. It says, so sort of three words sort of pop out. It says respectable apparel, modest, and self-control. When we look at other translations, in fact, what they sort of do is they sort of mix the words up, depending upon your translation. So if you're looking at the American Standard, you'll see the word modest instead of respectable. In King James, you'll see modest. In New International Version, you'll see modestly. In New King James, you'll see modest. New American Standard says proper. So all these different words. And all it's trying to characterize is really, you know, what's at the very root of the word. The root of the word is that word cosmos, or cosmos. This is where we get our word cosmos from. It's just well arranged or orderly. So a person's attire, and when we talk about modesty, what do we mean? We're really talking about that which is well arranged or orderly. But now, as we look further in this same passage, not only does it says respectable or proper apparel, again, your translation may say modest. My translation goes on to say with modesty. Your translation may say things like with decency, with propriety, or modestly, New American Standard says, shamefacedness, King James says, shamefastness, American Standard says. What is it after? The root, when we look at the Greek, is just a word that carries with it the idea of a bashfulness, the idea of shame. So in dressing, in putting on apparel, it certainly should be orderly, well-arranged, decent, befitting that which is befitting a proper decorum. Right? That's the idea. Taking that which is not presentable and making it presentable. It should be presentable. That same message, right? But along with that, it should include the attitude of the person. It should demonstrate a sense of shame or bashfulness, right? That is sort of one of the motivating factor. That in putting on my apparel, that I'm adding in some shame or bashfulness. And then the final word that's in this section talks about, my translation says, self-control. And self-control. So it's with modesty and self-control. Your translation may say with modesty and discreetly, or propriety and moderation is the word, or propriety. And it's just trying to speak to that which means self-control, right? Sensible. Taken as a whole. No matter your translation. And I think the reason why the translators struggle with this, I think they all knew what the text was saying. It's just trying to get it out was difficult. And what it's saying is, a person should dress in a well-ordered manner. It should be decent, but it should also demonstrate a sense of shame, and it should demonstrate a sense of sobriety or self-control, that a person was sensible. They were thinking about what they were putting on before they put the thing on. I think that's all there. It's not meant to be so complicated. And so when we think about modesty, when we say modesty, at least for the course of our study, we're thinking about it from this perspective, these ideas. That when I get dressed, when I leave the home, when I think about even my conduct as being a modest conduct, it really should incorporate these ideals, this idea of being orderly, well-arranged. Some shame should be a part of it. And some self-control. I need to be sensible. That's what we're talking about when we say modesty throughout the course of our study. We still have about 15 minutes or so let me transition to one thought. And that is, why is it so important for a person to have this shame or bashfulness? I think there's at least two core ideas that will drive modesty. One is the idea of, if God tells me to do a thing, because I want to be pleasing to God, that's going to motivate me to do whatever is necessary. So my commitment, my connection, my faith in God will so motivate me to do what's necessary when it comes down to the subject of modesty. The second thing would be this idea of having, I'm going to call it natural shame. A natural shame for our body parts. And this is the same shame that we should be trying to teach our children about being exposed, and when they are exposed, how that a natural shame should be produced. And so I like for us to think about what happens to a person when they don't have this natural shame concerning the subject of modesty. Maybe it may cause a person to feel comfortable exposing that which should be hidden. You think about folks who go out down to the beach. Today, they put on what is equivalent, in my mind, to a pair of underwear and bras, and that's both men and women, right? The men put on what be equivalent to, in some cases, boxer shorts, in some cases, just what I would call briefs. And they stand out there on the beach, and there is no shame, none, right? A woman may wear a two-piece, and there is no shame. And that's what the lack of shame or bashfulness will cause. It will cause an opposite of shame. It will cause a person to be brazen. Brazen in doing wrong. That's what it causes. It will cause a person to have an unnatural feeling. And when I say unnatural, the natural feeling is to feel shame, to want to cover up. That's the natural feeling. Now, let's prove that from a biblical perspective. In Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Genesis, the second chapter, verses 24 and 25. The story of Adam and Eve, and here's God's command. Now, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and we're not ashamed. Now, why was this husband and wife couple who were clearly naked and not ashamed? Well, some people, I've heard people say, well, it's because they were husband and wife. No, that's not why they were not ashamed. In this text, they were not ashamed for one particular reason. If you go to the third chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, this talks about how that they can encounter the serpent, and then they would eat the forbidden fruit. And when they ate the forbidden fruit, something happened, something that hadn't happened before. And the Bible says, then the eyes of both were open, both the husband and wife, Adam and Eve, their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked. What that tells me is that before, they did not know that they were naked. You see, when they didn't know they were naked, there was no sense or motivation to cover themselves. But the moment that they figured out that they were naked, the Bible says, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden and in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he says, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Notice this text says that he was afraid and he hid himself after they had sewed loincloths, my translation says. And I assume that in sewing the loincloths, they put them on. I can't figure out another reason to do that. Right. So they put them on, and still that partial covering was not enough for them to feel covered. So much so, again, the natural inclination was to hide. Now, we say that he hid because, well, he knew he had done something wrong. That may be part of it. That's just not what he said. Now, what we can read, what he said was, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. That is the natural inclination of anyone with a natural sense of being, once they're exposed, to want to cover themselves. And when I lack this shame, when I lack this sense of bashfulness, then it doesn't aid me in having that desire. Notice also in Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Revelation is the third chapter, verses 17 and 18. Notice how that there is this combination of wherever naked is, shame also follows. At least from a biblical perspective. Not in our world, right? In the world that we live in today, a person can be naked and we'll tell, and we, not us, but the world. The world will tell you, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of exposing your body. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. And yet, in the biblical times, wherever there was nakedness, there was shame. When Jesus was stripped and beaten, that whole stripping process was to bring about shame to him. In the Old Testament, we see that sometimes folks' bottoms were exposed. And in those situations, it was to bring about a sense of shame. It brought shame. That was what, by design, right? In Revelation chapter 3, in writing to the churches, the seven churches of Asia, the Bible talks about the church at Laodicea who had a belief of where they were, what they thought they were. He says, for you say, I am rich, and I have prospered, and I have need of nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Now I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, so that you may be rich. He says, you think you're rich, but you're poor. You get gold from me, you can be rich. He says, and white garments. The same thing, I counsel you to buy white garments from me so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. He goes on in that text, but the point I'm trying to make is that he describes the fact of being naked, that brings about a sense of shame. And folks today, in many cases, have lost that sense of shame. When we lose a sense of shame about our bodies, sometimes about our actions. You know, again, we live in a world that says, you know, if you think it, say it. If you got it, flaunt it. Right? That's the world's attitude. When we lose that sense of shame, we'll say things that we should not say. We'll do things that we ought not do. We'll expose things that we should not expose. Our attitude towards God will become that way. We'll become hardened. The passage that I think about a lot is where the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 about a person's conscience being seared with a hot iron. Where when the conscience is seared, when you sear something, it can't feel, can no longer feel. And I think that that's part of the problem with even Christians today practicing modesty, consistently. It is the fact that I no longer feel any shame. I no longer feel it's wrong. I can't even see that this, whatever it is I'm doing or whatever it is I'm wearing, is not appropriate. I can no longer see it. I'm completely blind to it. We've been studying the book of Jeremiah on Wednesday night. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 13 through 15, this will be our last passage before we bring this to a closure. Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 13 through 15. God's going to bring about punishment upon his people. And this punishment is going to be in the form of sending them into captivity. This punishment was going to be long-lasting, 70 years. And because they'd gotten away from just basic principle of right living. And it started probably small, but it certainly, by this point, had spread through the entire group of God's people. In verse 13 of Jeremiah 6, "For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy and unjust for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest," you know, the very people who are supposed to be godly and presenting God's word, "from the prophet to priest," he says, "everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wounds of my people lightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination?" Were they ashamed? The word ashamed there means to lose moisture, to be dry. It's almost to shrink up is the idea. So when you are exposed, the natural response should be to shrink up. When you do something and you're caught and you know you're wrong, you should shrink back, right? They didn't have this ability to shrink back. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? God says, no, they were not at all ashamed. That they did not know how to blush. They didn't know how to have shame. They did not know how to be hurt or wounded by the things that they had done. They didn't know how to blush, he says. "Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown," says the Lord. This sense of shame is critical to us, about our bodies and about our conduct. As we think about modesty for this month, and hopefully throughout the course of our lives, we try to make sure we have this sense of shame about ourselves.